Our scripture affirmation today is from 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, starting at verse 1. I'll read the first verse. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile.
But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel of God, not in even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which
tried
our hearts.
For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness.
Nor diminish our glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ.
But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Well, Father, may we walk worthy of the vocation with which ye have called us. May we walk worthy this day. May we be filled with your spirit, led by you to do your will, your way, for your glory. May this day we be so aware of your very presence in this place that we are changed, that we are made different. May today the whole world begin to know more and more and more the glory of our Lord and Savior. Yes. May you have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listening to the music today, I thought of the fourth chapter of Revelation. Fourth chapter of Revelation. We're going to start at the ninth verse. Just thinking about the worthy name of Jesus. There will be a time when we will worship in such a magnificent and wonderful way. Just think of this scene that John saw in heaven. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou has created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, or written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb. We come today because he is worthy to be worshiped. We come today because we want to talk about, learn about, live this life that he died to purchase for us. We want to know how to be what he's called us to be. We want to walk worthy of the vocation to which we are called. And we are called to be royalty, to reign as he reigns in us. We want to let our light so shine among men that they see our good works, the stuff that we do. He glorifies our Father in heaven. Are you living a life that glorifies our Father in heaven? Have you ever just stopped to consider where you're at, what's going on in your life? Are you living in a way that glorifies him? Are you living in a way that when people look at you and they talk about you, they talk about what God is doing in the earth because it's so obvious that you are one of his. It's so obvious that you are being used by him. It's so obvious that this is real. Sometimes, I know, we're just getting through. Tell the truth. Sometimes we're just trying to put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes we're just happy that we were able to get out of bed this morning. And sometimes we don't get out of bed in the morning. It's just a reality that there's so much that's going on in our lives, but what would it be like if someone who had been instrumental in your faith, someone who had helped you come to understand this wondrous mystery of salvation, someone who had helped you to come to understand, if you know him, what it means to know Christ. If that person were suddenly whisked away, but they wanted to call back and check on you, what would they have to say about what they're hearing about how you're living right now? What would people say about how they're hearing about the way that you have progressed in your faith? Have you been able to deepen your faith? Has the word of God been dwelling in you richly? Have you been living in a way that glorifies his name? I tell you, it must have been thrilling for the people of Thessalonica to hear from Paul. Paul had been taken away quite quickly because when he spoke there and they got so excited that they were living their life for God that, well, some people didn't like it and Paul had to escape. But he was concerned because some places he was able to spend a little time, but he'd only spent several months there and now he was wondering, how are you doing? And he wanted to encourage them. How are you doing? I want to encourage you. Chapter 2 of Thessalonians. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us. You are worthy of all glory and honor and power. And we want to live lives that demonstrate that. We want to live lives that show you're great. But we need you. We need your word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let the word of God this day move in us in such a way that we are changed. We know that you're faithful to change us from glory to glory to glory. And every time that you are around, there's glory. And every time that we become aware of you, there's glory. Every time the word of God is truly preached, there's glory. Every time the Spirit of God moves, there's glory. So let your glory change us so that we might give you more glory. And it's an ever-growing awareness of your greatness, of your wonder, of your majesty, of the fact that you are and that you are a rewarder of them who diligently seek you. Let it be, Lord, that we are yours and everybody in the world knows it. Paul's writing and he says, "For yourselves, brother, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. When I was there, you know something happened." People's experience of salvation can be different. It's all based on the word of God. You have to believe the word of God. You have to believe that Jesus Christ was was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again, and now sitting at the right hand of the Father as he always was. You've got to believe that. You have to repent of your sins. You have to repent and say that I was in sin, but now I've become aware that I am a sinner and that my only way out of the penalty that was due to me was to allow the life of Christ to live through me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the Son of God who died for me. You got to know these things. And I was sure that you experience that. Some people experience it in a flash, in this bright revelation of God. It's like, wow, I'm changed, I'm different. Other people feel it a little bit more gradually. You know, it's like, yeah, this makes sense. Yeah, God has changed me. Yeah, I'm not what I used to be. Yeah, I really am different. But I'm telling you, if you're not changed, you're not his. Make no mistake, if you are not changed, you are not his. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us fall short. All of us mess it up. All of us. And it's only by his grace that we are saved. It's only by his grace that we are changed. It's only by his grace that we're made different. It's only by his grace that we have been made brand new creatures. So, verse 2, but even after that we had suffered before, I was there and you saw the stuff that was going on with us. You know how it was when I was in Philippi. I was there in Philippi and they beat me and shackled me up and I was singing at midnight and the Spirit of God let me go and the Philippian jailer got saved and there got to be a rowdy thing there where there was real revival going on and it was exciting and all of that stuff. And then they tried to kill me, but that's okay, you know. And then they decide, well, no, they're not going to do that, and I will just leave here and go to another place. And I came to you in Thessalonica. I came to you, and when I came, God made a difference in your life. Verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Listen, the things I said to you didn't come from a place of a lie. You can check out what happened to me. You can check. There's obvious evidence that something happened. Things happened. It wasn't uncleanness. I didn't come trying to do dirty. I didn't come trying to be not right. But not only was it not uncleanness, I wasn't trying to be sneaky. I'm not trying to build my fortune and fame here. That's not what this is all about. But as we were allowed of God, as God had empowered Paul, as God had strengthened Paul, as God had made a change in Paul, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You know, you've been entrusted with something that's precious if you know Jesus Christ. You've been entrusted with the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God here because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are you doing? How are you stewarding that has been given to you? What are you doing with that? Does anybody know about Jesus because you live? Does anybody feel the power of God working in their life because they run into you? Where is the change that's happening all around you? What's being preserved? What's being strengthened? Well, you're warm and fed. That's enough, right? Okay, so, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Well, we admit sometimes that the stuff that we go through tries our hearts. Yes, there's hard stuff. There are things that we wouldn't choose. There's hurt and there's pain. There's failure. There's stuff that I can't even explain. I can't articulate. I can't explain what happens because sometimes friends die. I can't explain what happens because sometimes children hurt. I can't explain what happens because sometimes when you would think someone would be at their best, they fail. Wars and rumors of wars are all around us, and I'm in the midst of stuff, and I don't always know how to interpret it, and what do I say? What do I don't? What do I do? Living the Christian life is not for wimps. And then it turns out I'm a wimp. And I can't live this life without the power of God. I can't do this on my own. Can you do this on your own? Maybe you're better than I am. Maybe you just got it like that, you know? First time you heard about Jesus, you knew that was the guy. And when you were good and ready, you said, Jesus, I'm your man. Jesus, I'm your girl. Jesus, I'm the one that you've needed to complete this thing. In fact, you could even come on back now because I'm here. Without him, you can do nothing. You desperately need him, whether you know it or not. I need him. I love that old song. I need him every hour. God is so precious. Okay. For neither at any time, verse 5, use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. He could have said, I'm a super apostle. Yes, yes, I prayed and handkerchiefs were sent out and people got healed. Yes, sir. That's only $5.95 a handkerchief. $6.20 if you want the special one. He could have done silly stuff like that. And he could have justified it because he had needs. He had to go from place to place. He had an entourage. people that needed to be kept. He could have justified foolishness like that. And I call it foolishness because he realized something. His provision came from God.
Amen.
And he continually leaned on him. As we must this day. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. I like that. Think about, you know, grandmotherly type who just loves on those babies. Sitting up there with the babies, just loving on them. And he loved on them. And he cared for them. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. You know, I didn't know if I could understand this, but yesterday Betty and I were riding around doing some of our own things, and one of the children called with a need, and we just turned around and did what we needed to do, the way we needed to do it. It wasn't convenient. But it never occurred to me that we wouldn't do it. Because those are my babies. Are you his baby? Do you know that it never occurs to him that he won't care for you? It never occurs to him that he doesn't love you. Oh, I know you've had your days when you've been bad. He loves you anyway. I know you've had your days when you've not lived up to what you thought you should live up to. And he knows. And he loved you anyway. He cares for you anyway. That situation that you've dug yourself into, he's reaching down into the muck and mire, but not just reaching down as someone holding their nose. He's getting down in the ditch with you and climbing out with you and helping you and making it so that you can live.
Amen.
He loves you. He cares for you. He's affectionate towards you. And he wants the best for you. Even when he's turning you over his knee, he is giving you the best. Because he loves you. Verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. You know we did the job, he's telling them. We did the job for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable to any of you. You know, God has never said, you know, I'm not going to make it tomorrow if you don't give me a five. I just a little bit. No, he doesn't do that. He lets you know that, you know, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. And you know that the hills are mine too. And if you ever wrap your head around this, you're mine. Will you please start thinking in line with the truth? Don't be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might live in the joy that God has for you, that you might have peace. There are some of you, when you lay down at night, your eyes are still pop wide open. You know, you need to be like one of those little dolls I used to have. You lay the thing over and the eyes just, you know, because it's all right. I know that I'm kept. My. Time slide. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God, the good news of our God, the good news of the kingdom, the good news calling us to repent, change, turn around, so that we might flow with the Spirit of the living God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, who how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. The first one was a mother nursing the children, but the second one is a father with the children. Fathers are a little different. Yeah. Now, Ralph will tell you, sometimes the kids didn't think too highly of his fathering. Amen. Yeah, he had a little different idea than Judy. Judy was like, oh, poor baby. Yeah. And Ralph's going, I'm going to make you a poor baby if you don't get it together. Yeah, you know, fathers, and but it takes that whole thing, and our Father in heaven is the whole thing. He nurses us and loves us and rocks us in his arms. And he's a Father who corrects us and leads us in the way that we should go and provides for us. He's God, and he loves us. And he's doing all the things that are happening all around us for this, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. He's fixing you. He's making you. He's changing you. Why? So that you could be fit for his kingdom, so that you could be fit to walk in his glory. People say, that person's got a little glow about them. They've got a glow about them because he's the glow all around them. He's the glow in them. He's the one that's made the difference. He's changed them. He's helped them. He's grown them. Have you been changed? When people write back to you, will they remember a person who has been changed? Will they remember a person who's been made different? How will you be remembered? How are you thought of now? It's not too late to fix it. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Would you bow your head? Father, turn our test into a testimony of your goodness and your grace. You have blessed us, Lord, and we are thankful. Have your way. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we confess with our mouth that he is our Lord and our Savior. Now, Lord, have your way. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe God is working in your life in a particular way. The altar is open. You can come and pray here. You can pray in your seat. But let God change you. Don't stay where you are. Daddy wants to take you somewhere. The altar's open.